And Paul blows them away. God proved by Paul that he can still call. Now, the Catholic Church believes in apostolic succession, that the apostolic ministry can only be passed on from generation to generation by the laying on of hands. So they trace back to Peter the apostolic succession. In the first church, apostles were a bit beyond the original 12. You find references to apostles by Paul who were not in the original 12, giving credence to the belief that God still was calling and sending. Agabus was the prophet. Eusebius, all the church historians give credence to the fact that he prophesied a famine and it occurred. He prophesied that Paul would be bound at Jerusalem. He was. But this ministry of prophets created a danger. Turn loose, any jerk that wanted to spout could say, I'm prophesying. They still do. I'll guarantee you there's all kinds of Pentecostal prophets. I bet on the day of prayer that was called last Sunday, wasn't it? And repentance among Assemblies of God churches. I'll bet you there were tongues and interpretation and prophetic utterances in some of those churches, condemning Jim and Tammy. And of course, God was not smart enough to reveal it through prophecy until the Charlotte Observer did. See, I came to pastor a church almost 12 years ago that was noted for 3, 4, and 5 prophetic utterances every service, every Sunday. Anybody get up and speak in tongues, and most of the time the pastor interpreted. Notwithstanding the fact that the Corinthian letter says, you know, let it be by 2 or 3 at the most. And I was somewhat criticized when I first came to town. Because I said, when I start preaching, prophecy takes over. Some of you saw it last Sunday. I didn't preach what I came to preach. And when it starts to flow, I can't keep up with the flow. Now, there is order in the Corinthian letter. God's not the author of confusion. Part of the order is if one is speaking and God reveals himself through another, let the first shut up. Now, the Pentecostal churches have developed their own brand of prophetic order. The preacher gets up and preaches, and the Word of God brings an arousement. And some person gets up and spouts off and then sits down and says, now you fix up what I've ruined. I used to scare the liver out of them. I say, you ruin what God through me has done. I'm going out the door and you finish what you started. I've gone to camp meetings and preached. Went to Australia, 1,500 people. Pastors and leaders pray and invite me to come and speak. Spend thousands of dollars to fly me to Australia. I get up and preach. Some person that hasn't been a Christian for the last year just got back to the Lord, and boom, up in the middle. I got the microphone, 1,500 people, and some squeaky voice person out there is going off in tongues that nobody can understand. That Paul says, if the world comes in, they think you're crazy. Then they'll sit down and look at me with a holy look like, now, you straighten out what I've ruined. I said, the Bible says, if it's the Lord, he's decided to change the vehicle, and he wants to talk through you now, bye-bye, I'm going fishing. You finish your job. They love to have the preacher fix it up for them. I'm not making fun. I've grown up and lived in the whole church spectrum. I'm just saying, Paul, once again, gave him some order. God's not the author of confusion. But prophets began to take over. So the church was dealing with legalism on one side, Gnosticism on the other side, and prophets spouting off all over. And a poor Christian coming into a church like Antioch that had four or five sections within the church, some that wouldn't yield on Judaism, some that were living the compromise that James said, some that wouldn't give place for an hour because the gospel's at stake, Gnostics, Ebionites, and prophets. Where do we go from here? Well, we're going to trace the prophetic ministry down to Montanism, Gnosticism down to Valentinus, and Marcion, and legalism to the second century church. You interested?
Yes, sir.
Gnostic motives were already felt in Christian circles in the age of the apostles. Early church tradition attributes the rise of Gnosticism change the subject for just a minute. It will surprise most people to know that in the English College of Arms, the herald's office, there is a pedigree of Christ and his relatives from Adam downward. Now, the herald's office in the English College of Arms is no two-bit operation. You're aware of that, aren't you? It will surprise most people to know that in the English College of Arms, the herald's office, there is a pedigree of Christ and his relatives from Adam downward. It is both in chart and narrative form. This is from St. Joseph of Arimathea at Glastonbury by Lionel Smith at Lewis. It is both in chart and narrative form. The pedigree of our Lord's immediate family is startling. It is strange to find it there. It is roll 33, box 26. In case you want to go check. Interest centers on St. Anne and her sister, Bianca. Anne had three husbands. First, Joachim, by whom she had the Blessed Virgin Mary. Second, Cleophas, by whom she had another Mary, who married Alphaeus, and who was the mother of St. James the Less. Simeon, who became the second bishop of Jerusalem. St. Jude or Thaddeus, who went on the mission to King Abgar. And Joseph Barsabba, who are generally called the brethren of our Lord, thus making them cousins of the half-blood. That's a whole new subject, isn't it? You want me to continue? Which one? You get on the telephone.